Amen. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been spending a little time here in Ephesians 4 the last few weeks and just trying to walk through this because I am convinced that this passage of Scripture really details for us the way the Lord wants to build His church. When we look in the New Testament, there's several different pictures that God gives us about what the church is. It talks about the church as a building. It talks about the church as a family. It talks about the church as a bride. It speaks of the church as a body. And I believe that if you study it out, many of these illustrations or pictures or types, if you will, of the church, many of them were used in the Old Testament as types or pictures of Israel. But the body is distinctive. This picture of a body, you don't really see that, at least I haven't seen that really as an Old Testament illustration of Israel. It seems to be unique in the way the Lord describes the church. And we think about the church and we know that the Lord wants to bless His church. Amen. The Lord wants to grow His church. Amen. The Lord wants to purify His church. Amen. He wants the churches, not only disciples to multiply, but He wants churches to multiply as well. And so there's things that we learn here, and I pray there'll be a blessing. We're going to back up just a little bit as we continue to study this passage a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin at verse 1 tonight. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. He says in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Let's pray together tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together in the middle of the week. I know there's so many things going on in everyone's lives. There have been family tragedies. There have been difficulties. There have been health problems and financial struggles and all kinds of challenges. But Lord, in it all, you are always faithful. And you have been so, so good to us. And your grace and your mercy sustain us in the storms of this life. And tonight we are mindful and praying for those, Lord. We pray for your protection and your help for those in the paths of the hurricane and that you'll give grace there and protection. We pray that you'll watch over those who could not move. We pray that you'll be merciful to those who would not move. We pray for the first responders and the linemen and everyone who'll be working. Lord, please just protect, give grace, and we pray that we'll see your hand at work there. Lord, for all the other storms of life that are going on, we pray for comfort, for the hurting, for healing, for the sick, and Lord, for salvation for those who are lost. Lord, please, please bless that if anyone hearing this message tonight has never been born again, that tonight they would hear and believe the gospel, that tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that tonight they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Lord, for all who are saved, help us to follow you, baptism or whatever way that we need to go, Lord, whatever step we need to take, help us that we can grow in your grace and knowledge. Please help us to be real disciples who make disciples for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. There's so many details in these verses that we just read and more that I'd like to cover. I have a tendency to get bogged down in the details. I'm going to endeavor to not do that tonight. So, as always, I encourage you to study these things out for yourself. We ought to be Berean believers. We ought to be like those of Berea who search the scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. So I want to encourage you in that tonight. But let me very quickly just walk through this, because we want to get to a place where the church is building itself in love to the glory of God. Amen. We want to see that, right? Amen. I mean, I just let that sink in for a second. We all want to see the Lord's church grow. We want to see people come to faith in Christ and be saved. We want to see people baptized and identify with Christ. We want to see people growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We want to see people reaching others with the gospel of Christ. We want to see that happen. Amen. Amen. All right. I know some of you, it's really hard to say amen, but I'm going to trust that you're there, that you really want to see that happen. And he describes this for us. He talks about the church building itself up. He says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. We want to see the church grow. In verse 16, he goes on to say, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so what we want to see, and what the Lord describes for us in his word, is that the church grows to a place where it is maturing, to a place where it is building itself. And that's the design of the Lord, that as a body grows, that the church will grow in the same way. Now, that's a mystery to us. I don't care how technologically or medically advanced we get, the mystery of life will always be a mystery to people, I believe. I mean, you can try to figure out all the things that we want to, but nobody's ever going to understand how God creates life in the womb of a woman and how that baby grows. The psalmist talks about that mystery and how it all forms. What happens? That baby, it grows itself. But what God does, God knits it together, but it just grows. It just does it because God designed it that way, and that's what he wants the church to do. And yeah, there's a little bit of mystery to us, a little bit we don't understand about how that happens, but what we want to do is understand the pattern that God has given us, understand the plan that God has given us, and we want to be obedient to what he has shown us in the scriptures. The first thing we need to have is charity. Back in verse 2, he said, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. And then he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to tell you that one of the key ingredients for church to increase, for a church to be built up, for us to grow in Christ as a church, is unity. Amen. It's unity. And it takes effort. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This word endeavoring means that there's some work to it. It doesn't just automatically happen. Now, I figure that we can understand this in relationships. How about a husband and wife? I mean, I figure most of us look at Brother Mike and figure he's about as perfect of a husband as anybody could ever have. But I've known Mike and Artis for a few years now, and I could go ahead and tell you that it takes some endeavoring in their marriage to maintain peace sometimes. Take some endeavoring. I was waiting for that amen, Brother Mike. It's not worth it all. We can see it in relationships. We can see it in our families. We can see it in any time you have a group of people. Some of these young people play on sports teams, and I don't know if you know this, but sometimes you get a team together, teams don't always agree. Sometimes coaches don't always agree. Sometimes there's some strife and there's some difficulty. It takes effort to maintain peace. It takes effort to maintain unity in your house or in your job and in the church. It takes effort. We have to endeavor. And the key to unity is charity. That's that word we have in 1 Corinthians 13 for godly love. He says it in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. What does that mean? It means I got to put myself down. I've got to lower myself. I've got to suffer long. Sometimes people are hard to get along with. Sometimes it's difficult that we have to forbear one another, and we do that in love. Do that in love. Amen. I don't know if you guys will believe this or not, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes at my house, I'm going to pick on Mike. I'll pick on myself. Sometimes at my house, I'm not always easy to get along with. I know you probably don't believe that, but I'm trying to tell the truth. Don't worry, if you want to know, Melissa will tell you all about it later. You can ask her. So what does she have to do? Well, She has to put up with me. Amen. She has to. She vowed to. For better or worse. She made a commitment to God to put up with me, and now she's stuck. She has to do it. She has to suffer long and forbear. I think people are a little too flippant with their attachment to a local church.
Amen.
I think it's too easy, especially down here in the Bible Belt. I think that we need to be committed to one another in the Lord. I think that we need to forbear one another, and we need to suffer long with one another. And the key to unity is charity, because it's all based in love.
Amen.
I don't know why, but my wife loves me. And she puts up with me because she loves me. She may not always like me. She certainly doesn't always like the things that I do or the things that I don't do, but she still loves me. You know, in church, it's that way.
Amen.
You may not always like what we do, each other does. You may not always like what somebody in the church says or does or how they do something. You may not like how somebody doesn't do something. But we should always love each other.
Amen.
And when we do, we can endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you get that at verse 3? If we are not in unity, we are in opposition to the Spirit, because in the Spirit we have unity. And the only reason that we have to endeavor to maintain that unity and that peace is because we don't always walk in the Spirit. Sometimes we like to walk in the flesh. So what we have to do is walk in the Spirit so that we can have unity. Now this charity brings about unity, and then God wants to bring us to a place of maturity. So it goes from charity to unity to maturity. Now, we see the unity that he describes in verse 4 and following. Verse 4 says, there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You notice the ones there? It's one. That's the unity we have. And I want to tell you, that unity that we have comes from Christ, not from each other. It comes from Christ. The same Spirit that is in you as a believer is the same Spirit that is in me. And God has done a work of unifying us through His Spirit automatically. So charity, unity, and then we come to a place of maturity. Maturity. Now, how do we get that maturity? We spent some time talking about this a little bit the other day. In verse 11, He wants to use spiritual leaders to help bring maturity. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And we spent a lot of time a couple weeks ago. You can go back and listen to it later. I just want you to know that God's design in the church is He set some people to be overseers, to be elders, to be leaders, spiritual leaders in the churches to help bring about the maturing of the saints. And that's His design. Does it? He sets aside so many, gives them a desire inside of them to have an office of a bishop or a pastor, and He uses them to help mature the saints. That's what He does. Everybody with me? But He also does it through us, through everyone in the church. Not just leaders, but everyone in the church. And He does that through ministry. Check this out. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this is a quote from the Old Testament, from the Psalms. But here's what happened. Jesus Christ, when He ascended up into heaven, He told His disciples, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Comforter.
Amen.
And He talks a lot about that, in John especially, John 16, 17, all through there. 14, 15, 16, 17. And He describes the Comforter who would come and all that He would do. But we get a little snippet here that not only was He going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would guide you into all truth, who would teach you, who would comfort you, who would empower you. But He says here that the psalmist told you that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to descend, but then He was going to ascend. And when He ascends, He's going to send gifts unto men. So what did He do? He is empowered all of His believers through the Spirit. He has given us gifts to use in serving Him.
Amen.
He's given us gifts to serve Him. And so charity brings about unity, and we seek maturity, but we do that through ministry. We grow up and mature as we serve Christ.
Amen.
All right? Now, that doesn't make sense. Knowing about something is different than doing something.
Amen.
Okay? I can't help but use the analogy of exercise. I've read a lot about it. Watched a lot of videos. Occasionally, I do it. I don't get any benefit physically from knowing about exercise. Everybody with me? You can't get any benefit by knowing about running. You have to actually run. You can't get any benefit about knowing about how to lift weights or do strength training or anything else. You can't. It won't do you any good unless you do it. Some of you have had some different problems physically, and your doctor will give you some exercises to do, some physical therapy to do at home, and it won't do you any good unless you actually do it. Knowing about it won't help you.
Amen.
And I think that too many times in church, God has gifted us, and we know a little bit about what we're supposed to do, and we hear messages about it all the time about what we're supposed to do, but it doesn't actually help us unless we do it. Knowing about the ministry and knowing what we ought to do doesn't help us grow up unless we actually do it.
Amen.
We have to exercise ourselves in the ministry. And I believe he's telling us here that he's given every one of us gifts according to his grace. Because he says he's given everyone gifts according to his grace. It means everyone who's in Christ, by the grace of God, has been gifted by the Spirit with abilities to minister in the church. Let me share this with you. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12, starting in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Everybody with me so far? By faith, God has put us all together. By faith, he has linked us all together in one body. And don't think more of yourself than you ought to, because whatever you are, whatever abilities, whatever place you have, is by the grace of God.
Amen.
It's not you, it's him. Everybody with me? Okay? And this all happens by faith, and it's through his grace. And all of us are different. We're not the same. But the diversity in the church is what makes it so special.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You can't have a body with all the same parts.
Amen.
Are you glad that you have an opposable thumb? Brother Ben thinks he can wrestle a jaguar and win because he has an opposable thumb. How many times out of... Go ahead.
I'm just saying. He doesn't have an opposable thumb. I can hold tools.
See? Brother Ben's special. Opposable thumbs. But what if all of the digits on your hand were thumbs? That would be abnormal. That wouldn't be as helpful. I'm just trying to say that we're different, and all of our body parts are different, and that's the picture that he gives us. We're not all left hands. We're not all left feet. We have all the different parts, and God has put us together. And that diversity, when the diversity comes together in unity to work together, then we can accomplish things. I think I just lost almost all of you on the jaguar thing. But try to come back. Try to come back. We don't all have the same office, but we're one body, every one members of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, or we might use the word administrates, manages, with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, if you look at this passage, I am persuaded that these are gifts that God has given through His Spirit by grace, which means it happens through faith. The moment you were saved, not only did you get the Spirit of God who lives in you forever, but He's also gifted you, according to His grace, with abilities to serve Him within the body of Christ. Amen. And it may be the gift of preaching, prophecy, or it may be the gift of ministry, of serving or waiting or helping others. It may be the gift of teaching, or it may be the gift of exhortation, being an encourager. It may be that God has given you an extraordinary ability to have a heart to give, or it may be administrative gifts, or maybe it's mercy-showing gifts. Whatever it is, or whatever combination it is, you ought to figure out how God has gifted you. And you ought to pray and study and use those gifts, develop them to use them to minister in the church. Because our charity brings about unity in our ministry, deploying our spiritual gifts brings about maturity in the church. So, back in our text in Ephesians 4, verse 12, at the end of verse 11, he says, pastors, teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And here's what God's design is, that we would love each other, and because we love each other, we'll have unity with one another and peace. And when we have that unity and peace, we can serve one another and others. And as we serve one another and others, we grow up spiritually, and the church begins to build itself in love. Amen. That's the design. Amen. That's the design. But it can break down at any point. If we don't love each other, we're never going to have unity. Amen. If we don't have unity, we're never going to have biblical, spirit-filled ministry in this church. Amen. If we don't have biblical ministry where we're using our spiritual gifts to help and serve others, if we don't have that, then the church will not grow. It won't. It won't. If we don't have spiritual leaders who are pastoring and teaching to help the saints mature, then we will not grow. It takes all of it. It's the pattern that He's given us. And let's finish out these verses tonight very quickly. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I think the modern Christian, American Christian model for churches is this. You try to find a guy who could preach fairly decent. You try to get together some pretty good worship, and you get together and you worship and you have some good preaching and you're encouraged, and then you go home and do whatever you want to and come back again next time to get another shot in the arm spiritually. That's not the biblical pattern. Amen. The biblical pattern is that every one of us is working and serving together. Amen. That every part is working effectually in the church. And I want to help you out. And we're going to wrap up in just a second. But I want to help you out because growing up in church, I thought there were only about 3 or 4 jobs that anyone could do. You can be the pastor, you can be a deacon, you can be a song leader, or you can be a Sunday school teacher. And if you didn't do any of those jobs, there wasn't really anything for you to do. Anybody else feel that way growing up? This is what I mean, it's what I saw, it's what I thought. Those are the people who do stuff. I'm going to tell you something. Doing the work in the body of Christ doesn't have really a whole lot to do with what we do when we come together. That's very minimal. What this has to do with is what we do when we leave this place and all the days in between. It's how we live our lives, helping others and loving others and doing good unto others in the name of Jesus, speaking the truth in love, preaching the gospel to other people, discipling other people and teaching them the truth of the word of God. It's how we live our lives all the time. This is what I'm trying to say is we are supposed to be the church. We don't come to church. We are the church. And it's how we live. Every day is how we serve. It's not a job that you do when we come together. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is how we live every day. Every day. Just a little while ago in prayer meeting, before we came together tonight, I was excited this week. I got to see an old friend I hadn't seen in a long time, a guy who I got to share the gospel with years ago. I watched him pray. I mean, I haven't seen many guys pray to be saved on a paint bucket, but he did. And he's gotten away from the Lord. But I got to reconnect with him this week. I was so excited to get to talk to him and encourage him in the Lord. And there were two or three other people who got to talk to their neighbor or talk to somebody else at work or talk to somebody at the store, at the park. I mean, I'm just so encouraged that God keeps giving us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And what do? We take those opportunities and share the love of Christ and do good where we can and give the gospel everywhere. Amen. Discipling as we go, and God is going to bless when we're faithful to the ministry as we go. I'm excited about the idea, just the thought of this last phrase. And I'm going to ask our musicians to come and just consider this last phrase real quick as we wrap it up. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, I want to see the Lord's church increase. I want to see us grow in his love. I want to see the church built up to the glory of God. And that's never going to happen if we don't love, if we don't have unity, if we're not growing in maturity, and if we're not involved in ministry every day, doing the work he's called us to do. Will you stand with me tonight? I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, maybe you've never been saved. Understand tonight that the only way anyone gets to the Father in heaven is through faith in Christ alone. He's the one who paid the price so we could be born again. You could trust in him, be saved. Maybe there's other decisions you need to make. Maybe you need to get something right, not just with the Lord, but maybe you need to get something right with someone else in the church. Maybe endeavoring for unity starts by going to a brother or sister tonight. Whatever it is, if he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.